Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 241 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strathers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
I'm back. Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend.
That was eloquent.
There. There you go. In the craziest turn of events today, I get a message from a friend of mine whose name I won't mention, Matt, and he asks if Dallas is going to be back today for recording, and I said, I hope not, and he said, and I said, naturally, I'm just kidding, and he said that he needs his cracker wrap, and I'm like, what?
What is happening?
So now we're not friends anymore.
Yeah,
Matt.
He likes cracker wrap?
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
Dude, I'm so disappointed in humanity as a whole right now.
Mm-hmm.
My whole world's turned upside down. And I'm like, look, dude,
cats and dogs living together.
Later days, man. We had a good run, Matt. So you're out of here, dude.
Hey, I'm going to quote, what's his name on Jurassic Park? Life Finds a Way. Jess is going to be so pissed I can't remember his name.
Just what's his name on Jurassic Park? How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Which one of them said that? Was it Ian Malcolm?
Ian Malcolm says it. When he's talking about, like, the one guy says, they're all female.
Finds a way.
And then they see the eggs out in the wild, and they're like, what the fuck? I thought they were all female.
So Matt's one of those guys who will message me first thing when a new episode of a show that we are all watching comes out to tell me. Mm-hmm. He won't ruin it for me, but he'll give me the predisposition of, oh my gosh, you're really going to like this and this. And then just out of spite, I feel like I shouldn't do it. Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh yeah? Am I? Yeah. Well, I'll show you. I don't think Wayne's World is nearly as funny as everyone made it out to be. It's kind of like that phenomenon, but yeah. So I hope you enjoyed your cracker wrap, sir. There. You can stick it up your butt.
Served on a white platter.
So here we are, man. All of us back together again, back in the saddle. We had a pretty interesting week in Star Wars. We had Star Wars Visions. It dropped the day this podcast's previous episode did. And much like that episode of this podcast, nobody's talking about it anymore. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Everybody loved Visions. For the most part, it was pretty well received, and I think that's great. And we will talk about it in a little bit, all right? But first things first, let's just talk about our tales of woe from the week. That's what we ought to change.
This should be the segment. Yeah, this should be the segment. To who got, this should be replacing Who Got What.
The only theme song that I have is Who Got What. Yeah. So I'll play that, but just know that what we're really going to talk about is who laments what, because that's what all we talk about is the airing of grievances on the Bad Motivators.
It's like Festivus.
Yeah. There it is. So, so first, let me just throw this out there. All right. So, I had these two gigs over the weekend, and one is at a place that it just hasn't been doing so well post-pandemic, and I'm really hoping things turn around for them, because it's always been one of my favorite places to play. But there was this lady there who somehow, at this joint, it's a place you guys came to see me at.
Oh, okay.
So she's in that corner booth right next to the stage by me, and she will not leave us alone. Like, she wants to climb up on stage. She pretended like she was going to step on my pedal board, and I yelled at her to stop. And I'm like, it was funny the first 10 times, but now blah, blah, blah. Her husband was there, and he's a cop, and you can tell she's just used to getting her way. Pretty face kind of thing, where she's just people not bowing down to her is just unheard of, apparently. Dude, what a chore, man. What a chore. And I just, when that stuff happens, I'm like, why do I do this? And then they gave me a wad of cash at the end. And I said, I guess this helps. But then I had a country gig the next day. And just once, I would love to play a gig with this band where my in-ear mix was like tolerable. Just once. That's all I asked. Just one time. Couldn't hear anything. I mean, hell, the whole first song, the singer didn't have like the click and cues in his ears. And so it's like he didn't know when to sing because he couldn't hear anything. But we made it and we played it and people seemed to like it. And that's all that matters. So hooray for me. And that is really the gist of it. One other thing I did want to mention. Okay. I don't know. It's who got what. It's what I always say. But I wanted to talk about the Wrecker 6-inch Black Series figure and just how they're nowhere to be found. Like, I pre-ordered it from a major retailer. Not Target major, but pretty major. And they can't get enough. They can't get it to fulfill the order. What is this world coming to when a grown-ass man such as myself can't get a Wrecker action figure? I do want to say,
are we to Snowspeeder levels of want? Are we to that level of pain with the company?
Well, no. I mean, because this isn't their fault at all.
Okay.
This is a national retailer. They would give it to me if they could get one. But so I did have something kind of funny happen. I got a new water heater this week. Everybody should be greatly excited for me. And they sent these two dudes over to put in this water heater. And the shutoff valve for the water supply to the house is located in the room that's going to be my office here at the new house.
Okay.
And so I've got a whole bunch of artwork from the old house, my office just like stacked up laying around, and right next to where the water shutoff is this big lithograph of Taylor Swift that I had hanging on my wall. And I show the guy where it is and I see him like stop, and he's a younger dude, kind of give me the eye like, are you for real right now? Which I thought was pretty funny. Okay, I get it. He didn't say anything, though. But I could tell he was dying to. But then later, the other guy who was with him, who in my best estimation, was probably like 25, somewhere in there, 24. Okay.
He's probably like 43, five kids.
He asked me, so what did you like better, Folklore or Evermore? And I'm like, oh, I get it. And anyway, it was just funny that a young guy had, the other dude was going to make fun of me, and this guy knew enough about Taylor Swift to ask me which of her like last two albums I liked more. So I'm like, what a weird twist that this plumber is asking me to talk about Taylor Swift. And I could tell.
What a twist.
I could tell that he didn't want his other buddy to hear him asking me about it. But yeah, there it was. And that, sir, it's just how it went around these parts.
Right on.
Woodrow, tell us about hurting yourself.
Oh my God. So I was doing the electrical over at the house, and I'm getting in a hurry. I'm like close to getting ready to pack everything up on Sunday last week. And this is a week ago from this. This is Wednesday. Monday after this will come out Wednesday. So it'll be like 10 days later since I've hurt myself. So anyway, two Sundays ago, whatever. So I have this platform ladder that's like five steps up, and then it's got a platform on it so that you can kind of have a stable place to work on, you know, higher up. Like my garage is really tall. So I'm in this area where I'm trying to run this wire through one of those floor joists and then down into the top plate of the wall so it can go down into a light switch box. And I didn't realize I had put the ladder on a block, one of the legs on a block. And so I'm like fighting this wire, and by both my hands are, and I'm on the top platform, and I just fell down straight onto my legs and landed, set the landing like a gymnast. But apparently my 40-year-old body went, fuck you, we're going out of alignment here. And my whole back and
gymnast.
Hip. Yeah, right? You know, like I'm like, and I'm like, oh, and then it just, you know how you immediately know something's wrong? Yeah. Like, I just felt the shooting pain.
I usually know something's wrong when I'm falling from a ladder.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, it was like, this is bad. Mm-hmm. So I went home and couldn't get to the chiropractor on Sunday because Utah, everything's fucking closed. And so I went to the chiropractor the next morning, had x-rays, and they're like, oh, yeah, you got this, and this out. And he, like, adjusted everything, and then he's like, you're going to be really sore. And so by the time we were supposed to record the show, I was just – couldn't even sit in a chair. I'm doing all kinds of heating pads and stim and ice and everything you should do when muscles are sore. And by around Tuesday, I mean, I was in excruciating pain. I'm like, okay, fuck it. Getting drunk. And so I got drunk just so I couldn't feel the pain. And I slept like 16 hours on Tuesday.
That's what you needed.
Dude, I woke up pain-free the next morning, but it was one of those deals where as the day progressed, it started to come back, and I was pretty sore by Wednesday. But weirdly, like by Friday, it was like it hadn't even happened.
Right. And I'm glad to see the HGH injections helped.
What? Human growth hormone?
Yeah.
I just got like that
rebuilding
in the
your fucking spinal columns, man. Just getting it in there. Maybe
they have it in alcohol because that's probably what happened. No, it was just
athletes use it to get back in the game, right? Don't you consider yourself an athlete still?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm a shell of anything athletic. When your 14-year-old son picks you up and you like tear some rib muscle, yeah. You're not athletic or an athlete anymore.
Or I loosened it up for him previously, so you're welcome, London.
You did. Years earlier.
You're welcome. I hurt your dad.
Speaking of London, this week he got honored in 5A football for offensive line, for blocking by the league for the state. So that's pretty cool. We thought that was cool, and so he's excited. We're fully into football right now. It's like I have to get up at 6:30 in the morning 3 times a week to get him to practice before school, and then I have to take him to practice at night. They're still doing two-a-days. It's crazy during the season that they're doing two-a-days, but they're 7th in the state ranking, so maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I would think that during the season that would be like just impossible physically to maintain that.
Well, what they're doing for practice in the morning is film study and therapy and stretching. They're not exercising, but they're going to, you know, what?
Those aren't 2-a-days then.
True.
I'm playing two gigs a day. In the morning, I think about playing, and then at night I play. It's a 2-a-day.
They lift.
Buddy, I'm kidding you, man. Anyway.
He's not kidding. So, he's kidding, but he's not fucking kidding.
I wish I didn't have to get up at 6:30 in the morning, though.
I hate everyone and everything. Anyway. Anyway, sorry. I'm glad you're better, though, man.
Oh, yeah, thanks, man. I'm glad to be back on the show. I always miss – it feels – my world feels off when we don't do this. It's
– Well, you know
– out of kilter.
I mean, let's face it. The world is off because somebody – asked me if they were going to get their dose of Cracker Wrap this week.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not ivermectin. It's the vaccine for a good time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He got one in there every time he finds a way to get in there, Eric.
Yeah, he does. That's the, I need somebody to go back and count how many shows in a row we've had the mention.
Yeah.
I have to. It's so nuts to me. I just can't. One of my good friends has prescribed to him by a doctor of some kind.
It's fucking crazy, but compared to like a lot of the other crazy things that happen on a daily basis, it's pretty tame.
It's just.
Just say it. You should not fucking do it, obviously, but it's still, it's just like, you know, anyways, who cares?
All right. So, yeah, Cruiser. Tell us the score, man.
Yeah, how was your woes or if you got some shit?
Well, my daughter's daycare provider, pre-K provider, whatever, has been like having trouble keeping people employed through this employee crisis or whatever everybody's going through. Like, and she even pays them decently. I don't know what's going on. Maybe her hours are weird. I have no idea. But so my daughter Lily has been staying home with me like the last like week and a half. and just to kind of try to alleviate some of the stress on the daycare. And so it's kind of like warped my little world I had going on here. Oh no, I got a parent during the day. That's not what I signed up for. And so I'm dealing with that. But when I've been here, is a lot more time sitting down playing with the toddler. You know, when she's three, so I mean, but she's not quite that age where you can just kind of like leave her alone and let her go do her thing. You got to kind of like be around somewhere. You know what I mean?
It's right. So wild to me that baby is three. The vasectomy baby is 3 years old already. Yeah, it feels like yesterday.
Yeah, man.
I can't believe how it's blown by. Yeah. Like the show's older than your kid.
Yeah, I mean, the show's almost older than my second child.
But anyway, that's true. She was really little when we started.
Yeah. So I've been watching her, but so I've spent a lot of time, like, you know, she's watching Bluey for the 25th time today. And I'm looking at my phone. I see that they're coming out with these Black Series figures that have like the Droids cartoon like packaging and stuff. They've been doing this weird little stuff like this recently, right? So I think their options are, but they're done like the character styles from the show. So of course they have Boba Fett because they have about 9 quadrillion molds of that Boba Fett, and they're going to give every iteration of it out until we buy them because we fucking will, because I will. And but it looks cool. And then, but the one they really did the most work on, I think, is the 3PO. Did you guys see all three of the?
Yeah.
No, I've just seen the Fett.
Yeah. The 3PO strangely is awesome. I kind of want it.
Yeah. Cause it looks just like the weird version of them on that cartoon. And, yeah, but I just ordered the Boba Fett one because that's all I'm buying. If it's not Mandalorian or Mandalorian adjacent with Boba Fett and Darth Maul, I'm just not looking at it. So
you were so nice to leave that link to pre-order, but by the time I had woken up and seen it and clicked on it, gone. And I was willing to
bust Dallas's balls in the chat the other day. He didn't say anything again. I was like, come on, I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, I know. I wasn't mad. I just, he doesn't realize that I tried to and couldn't.
Well, I ordered 6 of them. So
yeah,
you can have one of mine. I'm just kidding. When did the other ones, are the other ones for sale already?
I think they all came out that day.
Cause I'm sure the other ones will be a little easier to get. Well, that's cool.
I'm hoping that it will show up in that Brad's Toy Shop in Vegas when I go down there next time. So, because I've seen a lot of stuff I haven't been able to get on pre-order like this in that shop. So he must be one of them bot buyers or whatever. But what's weird is it's like a couple bucks over retail. It's not like they're like gouging me.
Yeah, the Boba Fett was like $26.99.
And how much are the others? Same?
I think so. I just saw the big picture of them. I thought, those are cool, but I don't want it. So I didn't go deep.
Yeah.
Dive deeper in there.
To me at this point, man, I think I would probably only, well, I wouldn't even spend that much money on Anthony Daniels. I'm just kidding. Mr. Daniels, I'm sorry. That's probably mean.
No, Chris Hall would tell you.
Here
you're
comes
fine.
The email.
Yeah. Chris Hall would tell you you're fine.
Speaking of Chris Hall,
R2, by the way. Oh, sorry.
Speaking of Chris Hall, I want to say that I got several compliments on Taylor Sith this weekend.
Nice.
Several. Between wearing the t-shirt to the show on Saturday, to the front of house tech guy seeing my phone case on Sunday. Yeah, it there's a buzz.
I mean, it's a good shirt to be rocking this month for sure. Like it especially just because she looks kind of like, you know, gothy, you know? Yeah. I forgot. I got one more thing this week and it's bringing me a lot of joy right now. And it's something that Eric won't care about, but Dallas will. And that is, I'm completely kicking the shit out of Dallas currently in our fantasy football league and our matchup.
Oh,
and
it's fucking fantasy football.
It's awesome. I just want to put it out there that
you just pissed because I swept you last year.
You didn't sweep me nothing. Nothing.
Go look.
Anyways, Eric, that's all I
lost in the playoffs, but I swept you in the regular season. So I'll take it as I'll get you in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Eric, that's all. That's all, I think. That's it.
Thank God. Really dodged a bullet there.
Uh-huh.
So one thing I forgot to mention is that on Sunday, I celebrated 15 years of sobriety. That was the day.
Oh, nice.
So how about them apples, man?
Cheers.
I celebrated for you, but cheers.
Yep, nailed it. But anyway. Job.
Is that fucked up to say to somebody who's celebrating sobriety is saying cheers? Is that fucked up?
No, man.
I wanted to say, but as
have you said Merry Christmas to a Jewish person? I feel like it's the same level. If they say Happy Hanukkah to you, you know, it's not offensive. No big deal.
And I won't go into it because I have objections, but I'll carry on.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Eric, that's awesome, man. 15 years.
Yep.
That's like your sobriety is essentially the age of my relationship with my wife.
5 years off mine. We hit 20 in August, so.
Well,
so, without doing math, because I don't want to, that's what, 2006, right?
Yep.
For you? Yeah.
Yep,
that's how old my son is.
Well, what month?
February.
Oh, sorry. this month. What happened?
Yeah, that was weird. Did we lose recording?
I don't know. I don't think so. Why?
Everything flashed.
The screen flashed, yeah. The Skype call. This is great podcasting.
Oh, I don't know, man. I've got so many other windows open.
Oh.
I can't tell. I got my everything recording. Flashed.
I mean, the Zencast are still recording.
Yeah, because we don't want to lose this gold. So anyway, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, hey, you know what we should talk about? We should talk about Star Wars Visions. My kids need to see this still. They haven't seen any of the episodes yet. I was able to watch all of them day of, okay? And I really need to go through them again. Mm-hmm. But I'll just give you my broad stroke overview, okay? They all look amazing. All the episodes.
Good.
They're all very different from each other. Very unique. Some great voice work. I heard Alison Brie in there. And mm-hmm. I recognized her because she sounded like when she does Unikitty, when Unikitty's mad in the Lego movies.
Yeah. She was very Sailor Moon in that episode.
I really liked some of them. Mm-hmm. I liked all of them, but I really, really liked some of them. Now, I will say this, and I said it on the Sith list, and I'm kind of surprised. I'm relieved, actually, that I didn't get any like hate mail for it. But I feel like on some of them that whilst the visuals were good, they spent all of their time focused on that and not on the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the stories seem almost like, and I realize it's anime and I realize they have 15 minutes to tell everything they've got to tell you. But some of it, it's like, some of the elements just didn't make sense. And I'm not taking it as a, I just don't get it. It's just literally, they like, here, put these words here. And it's some of it seemed like a bit of a stretch, but still, I really liked it. And again, the way they manage certain things like lightsabers in every single episode, the way they did lightsabers, freaking, it was lightsaber worship time.
Dude, that first episode with that crazy ass lightsaber umbrella was fucking nuts. I loved it.
Yeah. What did you guys, what are your overall thoughts first? And then we'll start getting down into the nitty gritty of, first of all, how dope was that umbrella thing? But Cruiser, what'd you think of them as a whole?
I can't remember if I've seen all of them or if I haven't seen the very last one. But I watched them with my daughter. She's three. She doesn't care. And I really, really liked them for the most part. There were a couple that I'm like you, they either made me sleepy or I didn't care. Like I just kind of was like, oh, that's cool. But like it was kind of all over the place. Obviously, the duel was very good. I enjoyed that quite a bit. And the Ninth Jedi was probably my favorite one out of the whole kit and caboodle. The twins was kind of weird. I didn't know what to think of that one. But anyways, overall, I thought it was very good. And I love, like you said, what they get to show the different styles of anime out there. It kind of gives people a chance who don't know anything about anime to kind of see what, if like, if, say they really liked one of them and they figured out which studio made it and they could go check out more. Like, that's cool. That's a cool little gateway to it. Because some of them have made major animes. So it's really cool. But I thought it was great. And I'm like you, I need to watch it again. But I will say that I'm pretty happy that the book, the story which they chose to make a book off of was The Duel. Because I think that would be a very interesting read. You know, very, I mean, once again, they're going down that lone gunman type road, I imagine. But I just think a Sith who's more of a nomad is pretty cool.
Killing other Siths.
Yeah. And I want to know that story and seeing all those crystals in his
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
General Grievous with his lightsabers, but with the Kybers.
Yeah, and then he just gave one to the community. Like, okay, I guess maybe they'll power some shit, you know. But what about you, Dallas?
So I've been busy. I'm gonna finish him. I just hasn't lined it's up okay. Where I can sit down and finish him. So I got through the twins, the third episode, and so the first one, like you said, I dug it. It was, if you've ever seen the anime Ninja Scroll, it reminded me of that, like in the style. And that's a movie I loved as a teenager, like just loved that movie. Kind of in the same like vein, lone, you know, guy showing up in the village and shit's going down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The second one kind of like started out real slow, and it's an animation style that's kind of not my favorite, but then Boba Fett shows up and you're just like, oh, let's go.
Yeah, there it is.
You know what I mean? And then the duel. Okay, first off, the sex toy Star Destroyer, I just cannot stop thinking about. The thing looked like a fleshlight between two Star Destroyers. And I'm like, sex toy company, make this. People will buy this.
I, Dallas Wood, will purchase four myself.
Probably, because I would put it in the collection. And then if people went and see the – they'd be like, what's that? You want to fuck a Star Destroyer? It's planet killing.
Jesus Christ. You hear that, everybody that missed Dallas last week? This is what you missed. You are enablers.
Who doesn't want to fuck a Star Destroyer? Sex toy.
I'm pretty good with not ever doing that or experiencing it or seeing it.
But the armor concept was cool. It was cool that, you know, they were linked. They needed to be linked in the system in order to, you know, like, it was like this whole, he rebelled against the dark side. That was wild. That was a cool story. That was kind of weird, but cool. But I can't wait to finish it.
I kind of like the concept that kind of floated around a little bit within there, where I think more than one story kind of one heavily implied and others implied that the saber color would change based on how you felt, like a mood ring. Did you, Eric, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That the anyway, go on.
Show
sorry.
Your true self.
Yeah. What was
I
your favorite
one? That was.
What was your favorite one out of all of them?
Mine was the Ninth Jedi.
Yeah, same. So in the Ninth Jedi, the whole gist of this is that there's a sabersmith that. So okay, hang on. It's way forward in the future. Yeah. Is that right?
I think so.
Way up in the future, and essentially the like the Jedi are lost clan, and there's no lightsabers anywhere. And this guy puts out a call to all these Jedi that are remaining, like hiding, to come, because there's this sabersmith who has either continued to hold the secret of or has rediscovered the secret of making lightsabers. And all these people show up, And anyway, long story short, it turns out that they're all bad guys except one. And all the bad guys actually killed the good guys that were en route to this place. And the guys, the Sabersmith's daughter ends up being a super badass. And that's where the lightsaber blade reflects the person. So like all of the Sith, as soon as they spark these things up, the blades are red. But the little girl, she gets one and it's kind of a neutral color at first. But then as she like fights one of these dickwads, it turns green. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool, cool effect.
Yeah, it was I like that one.
That was my favorite.
I like the one where the one whose lightsaber was red, and then it was shown during while he was fighting that his heart wasn't really there.
Right, and like it turned purple.
To a purple. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah.
I'm okay with these. Oh,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say I'm okay with you spoiling me future episodes if they did anime Lando. I want to know which one that is.
They did not.
No.
Damn.
Yeah, but honestly, Dallas, like the story that Eric laid out, that's basically the story of it, but it's clearly like the beginning of a story. Like there's so much coming off of it. And like the only way you're really going to know how you feel about it is when you see it, right? Like the concept, what he's telling you is really cool, but like, you know how anime is, man. It's
visual. It's as much visual as story.
Yeah, 50-50 easily.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool. Yeah. I liked all the episodes. You know, probably the least favorite for anybody was the Obi-Wan one. It's like the one I've heard the most universal. Not that they didn't like it, but that's just the one. It was the most kid-oriented.
It was very cute, yeah.
Yeah, it was straight up Pinocchio. I really dug it though. I thought it was cute. I like the animation style of it. Reminds me of a cartoon I used to watch when I was a little kid, back before everybody knew the word anime. It was a Jesus cartoon. I'm not joking. And anyway, yeah, so there was that. And the last one, Cruiser, you said you weren't sure if you've seen him. I can't remember the name of it. Begins with an A. It's a single word. It's a name, but it's essentially like the story of Anakin and Padme, except retold.
With better dialogue?
Well, I bet if you watch the Japanese dub version of it, probably it sounds better, but...
I've heard the voices on the Japanese, watching the subtitles, actually, they're better voice acting, even though you don't know what they're saying. It's just the tone and how it's being delivered.
Right. I need to watch them in Japanese.
I'm definitely going to.
I think that'd be cool. Sure. I'm very glad that they did this. I'm glad that it was something they gave a shot to. I am completely fine if they don't ever decide to, well, we're going to go back and make this canon. Because you know what? Who cares? I thought it was great having these stories outside of time or outside of the storyline. Like the elements that were familiar were great, but they didn't have to be tied to anything. And that's refreshing, man. I mean, canon's great. And it, you know, at first when they announced that basically everything was going to be beholden to this great timeline that everybody would have to follow, much as I say this, I realized that that's the plot of the Loki show. But except, you know, with Loki, he like threw the whole thing out the window. In this one, there's only one of everybody, apparently. But you've got this thing where even the theme park is canon. And it's like, at first, the whole idea of it all being tied together is neat, but eliminating the requirement of it gave them the ability to go and do something like this. And I, for one, man, am completely thrilled with it from that standpoint alone. Even when like you have the twins, that one, I felt like there was a piece of that story that seems like, I don't know, put this in there. It felt like that. Like it just, it didn't end up being what I was hoping it would be, but it was still enthralling. And they were able to have like this cool stuff that doesn't have to be accounted for later. Or, you know, what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I, you know how they're making the book for the duel, right?
Right.
I would bet money that the Ninth Jedi is getting the same treatment.
Man, I hope, because it was like the pilot for a show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got to be on purpose. There's no way. It was to get you hyped, and everybody is probably most hyped about that episode. So like that's why I've seen the most like consensus on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that has to be your favorite. I'm just saying that's what I've seen overall. Most people like it the most. And it's because it's a very compelling story. And we want to see, and the way it ended was obviously like, there's more.
Right.
If you shout loud enough, maybe it'll appear.
I do feel them doing that duel stuff makes sense, though, based on what we saw. Because it did kind of have that feel of a, hey, this is just an episode in the series, and we just don't know what the backstory is.
Do you think they'll go backstory, or they'll go backstory up to the episode and then more story after it?
No idea, but I'm sure whatever they've got planned will probably be good. I mean, this is like basically a book, right? It's just like,
it's a full on novel. But I wonder, are they going to do the thing where it'll start out like, I forgot what his name was alone again, and he was wandering somewhere or whatever, and he can't help but think back to whenever this happened. And then like it's like him when he's 12 years old, like discovering he's evil, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just like, and then fast forward to he's 22, and he starts to become disgusted with the Sith and their ancient teachings, and you know, and moves it forward. You know,
I think that that's probably what will happen, because it would be. It wouldn't be self-serving if they didn't. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it would be good if they didn't go back and explain and just started from where that episode forward. But like, it'd be nice to kind of hear what he was thinking and what was his perspective. You know, what's the character's thoughts as he's in that situation?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it could be fun if they don't do the flashback thing, right? They don't go back and just like – this is what I did now. That's what I'm doing here. I'm doing, you know, like that happened a lot with, I liked it in Master and Apprentice when that happened, but it was almost too much sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Too much going back and forth. So I hope they don't do that, because they do that a lot with these Star Wars books. And I'm hoping that they can focus on one. I think they can go one direction, like where from where it left off we saw in the cartoon and in the anime, and then goes to this. And then, you know, maybe just, in passing, we'll talk to somebody about something he did in the past, but not go into great detail, make you want more of it, you know. I think it'd be kind of refreshing if they just kind of push forward instead of making sure we go back first, you know. I don't know.
By the way, I want that astromech that he has as a 6-inch Black Series. That thing was fucking cool.
Oh, the one with the like hat?
Yeah, he looked like he was in Big Trouble in Little China.
That was a nice touch, man.
Right? Yeah. That was so cool. There were so many cool touches in the three I've seen, you know what I mean? Like, it's
some really cool droids overall that people came up with.
Cool.
And character designs too were really cool too. So
makes sense. People like droids in Japan a lot. They like robots. It's like a thing there.
That's because they invented them.
probably.
The whole idea of like you've got the whatever you call that droid that has the gun, the big giant gun. It's like, I'll kill you. And that's just baller, man. That's really neat. I like the animation style of the duel. I don't know how to describe it, because an artist I am not, but you know, it's black and white for the most part.
Selective color.
Yeah. And I don't know, something about that always makes me think of the Take On Me video, even though it didn't look like it exactly. It's like that same kind of emotional reaction to it.
Well, like in the background with the black and gray, it was always kind of moving. Like, you know what I mean? Like something over top of the actual drawn figure, you know, there's like a noise over it.
Yeah. Like a noise. Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes you kind of I can see how it would make you kind of give you that feel as a take on home, me video.
Yeah. And then at the
end. Just not nearly as dramatic.
And then at the end where he says, I'll be gone in a day. Nailed it. Anyhow. Yeah, I was very pleased with that. The umbrella, though, let's talk about that real quick. The mechanics of it where the lightsaber was inserted into it and then it just diffused it.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad that it didn't stay the umbrella the whole time, but man, that was a cool device.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat to think that, like, you know, the concept of lightsabers having, like, accessories, you know what I mean, to do different things. Like,
yeah.
It almost feels like the same thing when you put, like, a telephoto lens on your camera, your phone that you take everywhere. You know? Like, I don't really got to get this one time. I need this thing, but take it off.
Yeah. And you got to wonder, like, what made it so valuable when he gives it to the droid smith and as payment.
Oh, maybe it was like the maybe the equity within that city wasn't very high. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they were maybe a discarded metal was worth a lot on that planet.
But
I'm sure that the technology inside it was to be able to, like, direct lightsaber bolts would be valuable too.
Oh, sure. The droid come rocketing out of there and shooting off, like, the little Mandalorian birds or whistling birds.
Yeah.
Everywhere. It's a very nice touch, man. Every episode's got some moment that was just, like, completely unexpected and killer. But
it kind of looked like our Patreon art, you know, that droid we have that Chris did with the Metallica shirt.
You know what this is? This is if Darth Vader and BT, right?
Yeah.
It's as if they both said, fuck the Empire, fuck the Sith. Let's just go out there and be badasses. And then here we are. That's kind of what it feels like to me.
I liked how that dude was fixing him. You know, Eric's talking about that droid. So that was a cool little scene, too. Like, he's like, hurry in before the tea kettle was hot.
That was a cool little concept.
That whole thing of have him fixed before this pot boils.
Yeah.
And that the Sullustan doing that. That was what he was, right? Pancake face.
Yeah,
man. Excellent touch, too. That just, that's so mysterious. The whole do this before this pot boils. And the, I don't know. I love it.
The sabers were so cool in that episode, too.
The way he does that long draw where he pulls it out. And, one thing I was wondering is the implication that it is igniting on its way out, or it's lit the whole time and that sheath is what contains it, just like a real sword.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I mentioned the movie, anime movie Ninja Scroll. It's just got that long. They all do, like, these, like, kind of poses as they, like, pull out their blades and stuff. But if anyone out there is going to watch that movie, don't watch it with your kids in the room. There's sex in it. Lots
now, I'm not
sex.
I don't know much about anime, but our friends over at Blue Harvest did a really cool, if you dug this, then check this out.
Oh,
episode
cool.
Breaking down each one of the episodes of Visions. Now, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure that it's been said if it was well received that they would, you know, consider doing another season of it. But I don't know how long that would take from this point to go forward, because it's not like they're going to be able to drop 9 of these every couple of months.
I think they take years to make. I think they've been working on these for a couple of years, usually. I mean, aren't they hand-drawn?
Episode. Like,
for a season, I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, each episode is made by a different company.
Oh, I guess, like, having only seen 3, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's all different major anime companies.
Well, there were two studios that did 2 episodes.
Yeah.
So it would have been a total of
7
companies,
consuming.
I guess.
It's time consuming to hand draw all that stuff.
No doubt. But I mean, but since 2013, there's been like 7 seasons, I think, of Attack on Titan, I think, and that's a lot of shit going on in there.
Yeah,
and they come out with, like, I don't know, like 20 episode seasons or something. So, like, since 7 years, eight, I mean 8 years, that's a lot of episodes. So if it takes that long, you know what I mean? Like it would take him 2 years for one episode.
I was trying to think of some funny way to come up with the gag on The Simpsons when Homer was voicing Poochie. Is that his name?
Oh yeah.
Where he asked if it was live. And they're like, no, the animators would have a hard time keeping up. But yeah, it's a whole process. I wonder how much the feel will change watching it in Japanese.
I'm excited. I think it'll change the feel. It definitely will change the feel.
So
people are saying it changes the feel.
Did anybody watch What If?
No.
No, yeah, me neither. I haven't had time. What's it about?
Shit, I don't know. I fell off of it and haven't gone back.
Yeah,
I need to get back on it. I've missed 2 weeks, two episodes.
Oh, and by the way, I got to correct myself real quick. It was not 7 seasons. It's been 4 seasons. So for 8 years, they got 4 seasons.
So a little over a year to probably do a season.
Yeah, but it's 20 episodes. Doesn't matter. Anyways, carry on.
Cruiser, I need you to shut up. Okay, so one thing that I meant to talk about back when at the beginning when we were doing Who Got What, I don't mean back at the beginning of the run of the shows. I'm talking about the beginning of this episode. There's a company, and I had remembered seeing something about this at one point and kind of forgot to bring it up. But there is a company called Denuo Novo. And what that is it's, according to this, that it's not an Ovos, but having their name changed. However, the name means once more, a second time. And then Novo is to make a new, revive, change. And so, like, I really feel like from the ashes of a Novos, because they address a Novos, it's like they absorbed it or whoever this company has picked it up. But regardless, they're a subsidiary of NECA, the National Entertainment Collectibles Association. And
NECA, they make good shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're making high-end, apparently screen-accurate stuff, and they're working on fulfilling the Novos past orders.
Oh, are they way past due?
Oh, dude.
They always were bad at that. That was legendary. They were bad at that shit.
Yeah, like there are people who'd been waiting years for things that they ordered and paid for.
Oof.
So
like,
yeah,
we're taking your money for 2 years. We'll see you in two. Like it was happening on the reg, like just for a helmet.
Yeah, and essentially what they were doing was kind of like the pyramid scam, where they're taking in money to pay for the people that they already ripped off, in the hopes that more money will come in and they can kind of just keep that same train rolling.
One of those deals.
So I'm really glad that I got my armor and all that, and my experience with them wasn't too bad. But anyhow, so here's the thing, and now they've got like their helmets are all in the $600 to $700 range, and they're really cool. I'll give them that, man. They're really cool. I'm not going to spend $700 on a Mandalorian helmet, but. No. Anyway,
no.
I mean,
those are the things that I would buy if I had a lot of fuck you money. You know what I mean? Like if sure. If I had a lot of fuck you money, I'd probably be trying to buy screen props and shit. So
You're right. There's something to that. If you have fuck you money, you're buying those actual lightsabers they used in the fucking movie.
Yeah, or just stuff like this random shit from Maz's castle and shit like that when they had to tear down the sets. You know what I mean? Just like random, like one of the flags hanging in the middle part. You know what I mean? Or section of the bar or like the glasses that John Williams had on his face when he was at the bartender for 2.1 second in the last movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I would go after.
Dude. Yeah. If you had that kind of money, it's, oh man, I'm just sitting here going, okay, I'm buying that fucking emperor chair for my office. Number one.
Which one? The one you hang by hooks or the one from Jedi?
One from Jedi, of course. Not the one where
you
got
to be one of those
an anal probe and me hanging from some light support system.
That's still weird to me. I feel like they could have explained that he was dying better without having to hook him up to a moving machine. He had the fucking force.
Well,
and somewhere out.
I love how the okay. So having seen the movie recently again, I watched it again. There's one particular line of dialogue in that movie that is fucking annoying to me, and I have no reason for it. But it's when Dominic Moynihan goes, "Secrets only the Sith know."
Yeah,
cloning.
That has now stuck out to you?
No, it's that movie's just so much going on. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things that, like, finally I've seen it enough that I'm like, that kind of bothers me.
It does kind of feel like a Star Wars tornado, that movie.
It is really a Star Wars tornado. That's a good description of that movie because there's a lot of good shit in it, but there's a lot of shit you're like, was this necessary and where was this?
Somebody's
I got to
say,
though, it annoys me now, but when I saw it before someone else saw it, like with Strut, when they sort of kill Chewie, but they don't, I did love seeing people freak out who hadn't seen it during that scene.
Yeah.
But now I watch it and I'm like, God, really? Did we need this in here?
Yeah. Yeah. God, they should just kill his ass. You know what I mean?
Well, they didn't. They didn't leave it hanging out there long enough.
Yeah. No, they didn't leave us hanging much of all. I mean, it's almost like a conscious decision to keep the audience like not in suspense very long so they won't hate this. But well, that movie's a fever dream. It's a fever dream.
And something I'm curious about is, do you think it would have been a better payoff if we found out that Chewie had lived at the same time Rey did?
That's a good point. I think
just
that would be a
better
payoff.
Curious if it would have changed it for the better. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to backtrack for just a second.
Okay.
In Visions, the Tatooine Rhapsody episode, you know, this was billed as a rock opera. Mm-hmm. Listen, that's not a rock opera.
No.
I didn't even know that.
It was a show that had a band, and musically they were shredding it up, man, but it wasn't a rock opera. So
we didn't get any jizz.
Well, I didn't care about that. I'm just saying.
I did like seeing those, I forget what they're called, but they were the jizz players from the original one, right? Or like they're playing like the little, what are those things out close called? Those fucking, they got like a insect, like whole mouth and like their head's all orange and they're playing like the clarinets, basically. Oh,
if you hadn't have gone this deep on it, I could have told you what they were called.
But anyways, you know what I'm talking about when you see them. You know what I'm talking about. But anyways, they showed them in like a little booth, like off the side, like scowling at this band shredding on the screen. The one that,
dude, it's because they were about to get up and play jizz.
They're over here stealing our fucking thunder. We're the only group on Tatooine, and now we got these punks coming in.
It feels like that time. It's what I imagine Bono from U2 felt in Salt Lake City in 90 whatever when I went to that show where Rage Against the Machine opened for them and Rage was pretty new.
Yeah.
And like I was there to see Rage, not U2. So it was kind of funny how like one quarter of the audience left the fucking concert.
It's horrible.
We did, dude. I wasn't there to see U2. Like, they had a couple good songs, but I'm like, man, am I going to listen to all the songs that, like, I think are all right?
Listen, you may have not went there to see U2, but you paid to see U2.
They got my money, but I didn't see them. I saw the first song, and we walked out. I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't like them. No disrespect. They are talented. Bono's done a lot of charitable things, but I was there to see Zach De La Rocha tell me about going down Rodeo with the shotgun. You know what I mean? People ain't saying that.
So, Eric, what were you going to say before Dad Dallas went on the
rage I don't
tangent?
Even remember now, man. Just that, I was saying that it wasn't a rock opera.
Yeah, it definitely was.
That a rock opera would be a story being told through the songs, like a musical.
Yeah.
But that wasn't it. But I don't know. There were a couple things how the guy's like so baller that I thought what was going to happen is when they handed the hut the base, I thought that that was like a rocket launcher embedded on it, and that's how, what they were going to do to escape was blow the place up. But the fact that it was, they just won them over with their rock. It was like the pick of destiny. It was like an episode of Tenacious D.
Yeah.
God, I love that show.
And yeah, that's what it was about. But like seeing Boba Fett sitting there like rocking out, nodding his head.
Jabba's tail slapping to the music.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. It was rad. The first half of that was slow, but the second half was paid off. Yeah.
Those aliens, by the way, in the Cantina Band are the Bith.
Yes,
that's
Bith.
Right.
Because there's a fucking Bith Sith in Plagueis.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so
and
weird.
He's a ship designer, not a jizz player.
He was Plagueis' master.
Yeah, and he designed that special ship that could hide from scanners or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dude, I listened to that whole book falling asleep for a year once.
That's good shit.
I could see how that could put you to sleep.
I was trying to get past it. I knew it was coming.
You know what? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I am okay with Eric's hate of that excellent novel.
He says he doesn't hate it. He just thinks it's sleepy.
It is.
It works. To be honest, I was picking chapters that are boring.
I don't hate it. I like it, but it makes me sleepy.
Speaking of Rogue One, what an excellent segue.
Nice.
So, Cassian Andor, the series Andor. A little bit of news about that. And Cruiser, can you tell us more?
The news is that Diego Luna is smiling a lot. He's happy. He's excited. He's ready for the people to see this of the world. They just quit. They just finished, wrapped up shooting it, I guess. So, therefore, like what Eric said in the pre-show meeting, that they should be done in 2 weeks. So that's cool. You know, like the whole show wrapped up, post-production, all that stuff, ready to go.
Eric minimizes the accomplishments of the people who work so hard on these things.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously we got months to go, and they gotta start up their marketing and everything else, and you know how the marketing's fucking 3 months of it. So I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on there.
I gotta say this. I'm super disappointed I'm gonna be in a different time zone and on a different continent when Catherine Neen sees that show, episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to be like I'm so happy for her.
She should live stream it. Like Disney should let her live stream it.
She should Twitch it. Yeah, I'd watch the fuck out of that.
What needs to happen is there needs to be like a watch party that happens from Disney Plus's like watch with me thing. What would they call it, Eric? The thing they have.
Yeah, we were doing that. You know, when we were watching the episodes earlier.
Yeah.
What was that called?
Can't remember, but it's a feature in Disney Plus. I don't know how many people you can attach to it, but it'd be kind of cool if you could get like a group of people together, watch it with Catherine. That'd be fun.
We should, yeah. Well, Catherine's a patron, isn't she? So we should just do a Patreon thing.
No, I don't remember about that. Just do it with her because we're a friend. You know what I mean?
No matter what. But
anyways, we don't have to record it together. We don't have to record it. It's one of, you know, we could watch it with her. Anyways. What I like in the interview is Diego, one, he's like super proud of like, cause he's also executive producing the show. And he's super proud that like this will give exposure to even more exposure to the Latino community and stuff like that. And he likes being a part of that and raising people up. He says the favorite part about it is that he'll probably be able to talk more about it because people already know what happens to his character if they've seen Rogue One. So there's no spoiling whether or not he's going to live or die in this series because we know he doesn't actually.
So, but there's so much cool shit in his career as a rebel we haven't seen. So yeah, it's going to be fun to see all that shit, man.
It's definitely going to be cool. I mean, it's just funny that he's already like making jokes about it. He's like, yeah, people already know I'm dead. So this is what happened before I died.
Weirdly, I'm more excited for I'm excited for Kenobi. So let me preface that. I'm excited for Kenobi, but I'm more excited for this than Kenobi, like by this much. And I don't know why.
I have no doubt.
I'm getting so much more.
I have no doubt Cassian's going to be a good show. He said there's going to be lots of familiar faces in it too, is what he said.
Oh, sweet. If Donald Glover shows up, I'll cry.
I don't know if it's going to be like that, but maybe. But As much as I want to see Cassian, there's no way it even comes close to like my hype level for Kenobi. Like, it's not even close. Like you and McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi again, like Anakin, Hayden Christensen being back in there. Like, no, way more hype for Kenobi. What you, Eric?
I don't know why.
Weirdly, you don't know why what?
That I want to see. I'm more excited for Cassian than Kenobi. I'm excited for Kenobi. Don't out.
Well, I do want to see Cassian a lot, but yeah, I'm more hyped for Kenobi. But that's just from a, you know, we've been with that character forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's but even still, I'm very excited for it. I think Diego Luna is just amazing. And the character itself and just the idea of it and like having no idea what they're planning with this, I think is very exciting, because when's the last time that you could really say that about Star Wars up until live action TV started with The Mandalorian? I mean, that just hooray, hooray, hooray.
Can I ask you guys a question? Between the Boba Fett series and the Mandalorian season 3, which one are you more excited for? And I know Boba's closer, but I'm just curious because they come from the same thing. So I'm just curious because they split from the main line. So which one are you more excited for?
Dallas, you got an answer for this? Yeah, I'm trying to think over.
This is tough because Book of Boba Fett's on my doorstep. And I don't know when I'm getting Mandalorian season 3. Mm-hmm. So I guess from that, just on that technicality, I'm excited for Boba Fett because I know it's going to happen right away.
I just mean story-wise, but really, like, man.
It's story-wise, oh, God, they just have such good shit that's going to happen. I can't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. I think it's equally, I'm excited for both.
I think that probably Book of Boba Fett's what I'm more looking forward to, but it's a tough draw, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that if Grogu was still with the Mandalorian, I'd be possibly more excited about the beginning of the third season of the Mandalorian. But I mean, who knows what they'll decide to do with that? If we can see more Luke Skywalker, hip hip hooray! Mm-hmm. But I feel like they're gonna have to do something kind of different. And then, you know, admittedly, they've got this whole Bo-Katan thing to fix, which there's a lot of room for awesomeness in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard because the book of Boba Fett, you know, is going to be like really badass. And like, you know, you're excited. I mean, it's Temuera Morrison, you know? I mean, like, it doesn't get much better than that. The fact that he'd be playing the character, but like, Just chill. I see Dallas raised his hand over. Just chill, sir. The Mandalorian season 3, however, has so many story plots already going forward, like from characters that we spent all this time like building a relationship with the past two seasons. That like, you know, that there's gonna be some kind of thing somewhere where Grogu is seen again. It may be at the very end of the season. You know, keep one of those things. See what will happen for the next season. But like you're saying, Eric, like the Bo-Katan Mandalore deal, and the fact that he took the weapon from Moff Gideon and whatever else, like I want to see where the Mandalorians as a whole, where their story goes, because I think that's a really interesting tale to be taught, and they're going to show Mandalore and everything else. It'd be very, very cool. So I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think overall, Mando season 3 for me, probably. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
I discovered something thanks to Chris Hall. We keep talking about Chris Hall, but I was in a chat with Chris Hall on Sunday, and he informed me about something about Temuera Morrison that I did not know. He has an album.
Oh, yeah.
You knew this?
Yeah, I thought that was known.
No, I had no idea. I found out Sunday. He did It's Unusual and the Midnight Special on this album. It's a cover album. It's fantastic. I can't stop listening to it.
Well, I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, it's called Tem. T-E-M. It's on Apple. It's on Prime Music. It's on Spotify. It's great. Man, the guy is not only Boba Fett, but he's a fucking great singer.
I'll be damned.
You gotta check it out. It changed my life. I fucking love it. I've been listening to it for 3 days.
It's time to rock.
Pack your things. It's the midnight special.
It's the midnight special. No, but he does it better, actually, I think.
Of course he does.
It's fucking rad, man. Boba Fett doing fucking Tom Jones. I just can't get over this.
Well,
which one? Which one of his hits is he singing?
Okay, so here I'll just read.
No. Is it What's New Pussycat?
Or? No, it's Unusual. It's not Unusual.
Oh, it's Unusual. Okay, that's what. Okay.
Yeah, he did Midnight Special, Drift Away, Bring It On Home to Me, Easy. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say Boba Fett loves you. That's exactly how it goes.
Hope so.
EIPO, Wonderful World, Can't Take My Eyes Off You, Let It Be from the Beatles, and I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And that's the most popular download on Apple or on Amazon. It's so great, Eric. I've been waiting this whole show to tell you about this because I know you're going to love it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out, man.
Oh, yeah. And if anybody listening, if this has been missing from your life, I'm sorry because it was missing from my whole life until Sunday. Thank you, Chris Hall. Thank you so much for...
I smell an obligatory That's Metal.
Possibly.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out for sure. But is there anything else going on that we missed? I don't feel like there is.
Some minor things, nothing huge, I don't think, that at least not we're aware of, which isn't saying much.
We talked about how none of us watched What If, so there's that. Uh-huh. And yeah. Well, hey guys, I guess really, go check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Going to have an episode of Starless Family Secrets up here by tomorrow, or before you hear this episode, I guess is what I'm really trying to say, that features my daughter Stella for her triumphant return, not to the family. She's been in the family the whole time, just to the show.
Welcome back, baby.
Yeah. So yeah, patreon.com/thebadmotivators.
Hey, and I did a Patreon show on how to buy a used car in this expensive used car market. So check that out. It was a half an hour by myself and I poured my soul into the tips. I legitimately want to help people. So go check that out if you're about to buy a car. You know what I mean? Like, and if people like it, I'll do more of it. I've been wanting to do car business stories for a long time. Like the time we put a fish in somebody's trunk that pissed us off at the Toyota dealership 12 years ago.
Good Lord. And in the meanwhile, make sure you go and buy some t-shirts, because every time you buy one, you feed a hungry child or three. But, the links to the TeePublic and Redbubble sites are right there in the show description, along with several social media links, including following the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. Well, there's really only one thing left to say, and that would be this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
The Bad Motivators.